That was the sound of a Grumman F-14 Tomcat. Arguably still the flying star of the Navy, it's about to retire after over 30 years of service. The final combat deployment for this icon of American aviation is coming to a close, and with it a chapter in the modern American Navy. Imagine an airplane that can dramatically change its entire shape in flight, minimizing or expanding the area and angle of the wing to match the slow or fast flying environment that the aircraft is experiencing. It still sounds like the plane of the future. There will be some final airshow appearances around the country in 2006 of the aircraft that easily upstaged Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer in Top Gun. But most of us will now only get to appreciate the F-14 in museums. One of the places where you can get up close and personal with these commanding machines is the National Museum of Naval Aviation in Pensacola, Florida. I spoke with Hill Goodspeed, the historian there, about the F-14 and its legacy. First, I asked about the impact that Tomcat made when it debuted in 1975.
Well, it was an aircraft that presented the just the coming of a new age of aircraft design. First of all, it was just so large. If you've ever had the opportunity to see one fly or operate from an aircraft carrier deck, they are just mammoth in size. And it brought with it new technologies that represented the dawning of a new age, one of which was its weapon system. It had a special weapon system that was designed specifically for the F-14, which is called the Phoenix missile. And accompanying that system was a sophisticated radar and radar equipment. What you could do, or what the aircraft could do, was could track multiple targets simultaneously, and that would be done by the radar intercept officer in the rear cockpit. And could launch those missiles at ranges in excess of 100 miles. So it had the ability to combat numerous enemy aircraft. Another thing that made it just an awe-inspiring aircraft, in addition to its size, was its variable incidence wing, or its swept wing design, in which the wing would actually sweep back or sweep forward automatically to provide the aircraft with the optimum wing position, depending on what maneuver it was doing. So if you've ever seen one fly, that's a neat thing about it. When they made a high-speed turn, for example, you could see the wing automatically shift forward or shift aft, depending on what they were going to do.
Those variable sweep wings give the F-14 multi-mission ability, and with the phasing out and retirement of the Navy's only dedicated ground strike aircraft, the A-6 Intruder, the Tomcat has found plenty of opportunity to drop bombs. In fact, it was the F-14 that served as the Navy workhorse relentlessly patrolling the Iraqi no-fly zone between the first Gulf War and the current conflict.
It really has. The F-14 was actually designed with that capability to drop air-to-ground ordnance and deliver ordnance against targets on land. It was just something that was, it was a mission that wasn't embraced by the Navy or the F-14 community through much of the aircraft's existence. But with the retirement of the A-6 Intruder after the first Gulf War, which was a primary bombing platform for the Navy, the F-14's bombing capability came to the forefront. I mean, it really is. I mean, just for people accustomed to thinking of the F-14 as a pure fighter, it's been an interesting evolution during the past decade to hear about them dropping bombs. But that's really a trend in it fits right in with the trend of the Navy, which is definitely a multi-mission trend. Aircraft are so expensive to operate and to purchase that you want an aircraft that can do it all. And so the F-14 certainly, probably over the last 10 years of its existence, has shown that versatility more so than at any time during its service.
But now, the aging fleet of F-14s, though they've been upgraded with the very latest in digital avionics and new weapons, are just too expensive for the Navy to keep, maintenance being the biggest expenditure of labor and money.
Well, you got to look at the keeping the assembly lines running for these unique parts, and the aircraft are getting older, so the airframes are older, and you have more maintenance needs over time. And that's really the main reason, is just the fact that the airframes are having numerous hours on them, and you're having to just replace things more frequently and to keep the aircraft in tip-top performance. And in carrier aviation in particular, it's a very demanding environment, and it's one that puts a lot of stress on an airframe. So That certainly contributes to it as well.
Most modern combat aircraft fly at the same speeds, can perform multi-missions, and share weapons systems. So the advantage of one particular airframe over another is judged at the bottom line of the budget. That is, until the Navy operates just a single type of combat aircraft. Although F-14 pilots and radar intercept officers will be retrained to fly the F-18 Super Hornet, there is still some lingering nostalgia in the Tomcat community over the old but still potent F-14.
It was not an easy aircraft to fly by any stretch of the imagination. And in today, I think as aircraft become more modern and technology advances so much that there is more and more that's done by in-flight computers. So I think people who are nostalgic about the aircraft of old are nostalgic because they're aircraft that you, not to say that people flying F-18 Hornets now are flying the aircraft less, but there's more and more in the cockpit, more and more technology, which is just changing what being an aviator is all about and what the flying experience is. So that's probably a contributing factor to those who look upon, you know, the retirement of the F-14 with some nostalgia. And for most in naval aviation, unlike what it was like in the early years of naval aviation when you would fly multiple different types of aircraft, in the modern naval aviation, the modern Navy, when you join the F-14 community or the F-18 community or before that the A-6 community, that was your community, that was your home, and you spent your entire career in that community. So there's a special bond among those who fly certain types of aircraft for so many years. So it's certainly nostalgic for them, but with the F-18 Hornet and the Super Hornet and the Joint Strike Fighter on the horizon, aviators now, just like aviators of old, are looking to push the envelope and see how far they can advance and how far they can go, and that F-18 is going to offer many former F-14 pilots that platform.
The National Museum of Naval Aviation houses a superb collection of aircraft, and their Tomcat has a special place.
Well, it's the way we display our F-14 is unique, and so just the way it's displayed really draws attention. It's located right outside the front entrance, and it's on a pedestal. So when you approach the museum from a distance, it's the first thing you see, and it's pointing skyward and like it's about ready to roar into afterburner and head to high altitude. So, and I think what people are amazed about when they, and myself included, even though I've worked at the museum for almost 15 years now, it's just the sheer size of it. It just casts a large shadow, and you're walking underneath it. It's amazing to see how big the aircraft is, and you think of operating it from a ship. And certainly, as far as the post-Vietnam War Navy, the F-14 was introduced, and as you said, in 1975, which was coincided with the fall of Saigon and the end of American involvement in Vietnam. And for that, since that time, the F-14 has probably more than any other aircraft symbolized not only naval aviation, but just America's military in response to crises around the world. In the 80s, you had the air-to-air engagements with Libya, and then you had the Achille Lauro and the bringing down of the hijackers and aircraft they were flying. It was F-14s that intercepted them. And then, of course, with Top Gun, as far as publicity for the Navy and just making the F-14 even more a symbol of naval aviation, that movie certainly did that.
One of the rarest F-14s on display can be found at the Air Victory Museum at the South Jersey Regional Airport in Lumberton, New Jersey. I spoke with Tom Myers, a volunteer at the museum for the last 9 years, about their unique Tomcat.
Well, this particular airplane is pretty rare. It was the 59th aircraft off the assembly line, and number 57 delivered to the Navy. Got delivered on February 20th of 1974, and went right to work with VF-1 off the USS Enterprise. From May 74 to 76, it was there, but our aircraft actually flew with Operation Frequent Wind, which was the evacuation of Saigon.
Although South Jersey Regional Airport plays host to business jets every day, the Air Victory Museum's Tomcat didn't land there.
This one was retired in April of 1992. We talked a lot through the Pensacola Naval Air Station and their museum down there, the National Museum of Naval Aviation. We located the Tomcat. We expressed our interest in having it for our collection. They went through the transfer process to give us a loaned ownership of it. and we proceeded to go out there with a crew of volunteers, took the aircraft apart, loaded it onto two tractor trailers, and trucked it across one of the bridges here about 2 o'clock in the morning to avoid traffic jams.
School groups often come through the museum, and I asked Tom how visitors react when they encounter the F-14 on display.
Well, a lot of the first reactions are due to its size. They just can't believe that something that big would operate off of an aircraft carrier. A lot of people, you know, remember it from the movie Top Gun and all that associated literature and stuff from Hollywood, but when they get up next to it, they just can't comprehend the sheer size of the airplane. It's just mammoth to their eyes.
Tom has worked at the Air Victory Museum for 9 years, and I asked how the staff who spend every day around these aircraft feel about their Tomcat.
Well, we all have a real special place in our hearts for the Tomcat, because it's just a phenomenal airplane. It just demands respect when you look at it. It's just got its own feel to it, you know. You stand in front of it and you just feel it there. It's got its own presence to it. It's really imposing, really.
My own experience with the Tomcat is unforgettable. One summer day in 1989, when the Miramar Air Station was still the Navy's and the home of Top Gun, I found myself standing on the scorching tarmac about to get the Grand Tour. I was 12 years old and in pure heaven. An F-14 pilot, callsign Opus, had traded the tour to sit in with my dad's blues band. Opus took my dad and I out onto the ramp and kissed close to his own Tomcat. Then we hopped into an old Army Jeep with no windscreen or body, and with a handheld aviation radio up to his ear, Opus guided the rumbling Jeep across the acres of taxiways and runways. After a trip down what looked like a deserted dirt road, we could see a special runway in the distance. It was the exact size of an aircraft carrier and painted to match. Bright orange lines ran across where the real arresting cables would be, and a meatball, the array of lights that the pilots used to gauge their descent onto the deck, was set up on a portable trailer. We ground to a halt in a cloud of dust, wondering why Opus had driven us out there. In the silence after the Jeep engine cut off, we could hear the crackle of pilots over the handheld radio. Suddenly, our purpose at the runway was clear. An F-14, wings and flaps fully extended, landing gear and tail hook down, looked bigger than life. And as if it were about to land in the Jeep, the heavy airplane slammed down on the runway and immediately went to full afterburners. Even in the bright late afternoon sun, the engines produced 30-foot-long shockwaves of jet power, visible in a bluish glow. The ground shook, the boom of the engine seemed to drill into our stomachs, and the wash from the exhaust made us hold on to the rattling Jeep. We were introduced to the officers manning the meatball and directing the aircraft, and spent 2 extraordinary hours, 15 feet away from supersonic jets, making precision carrier approaches. As the sun sank below the horizon, the effect of the afterburners turned burnt fuel and super hot air into resplendent, long, purple columns. Bright blue shock diamonds would form in the center of these columns, like real diamonds, formed by pure power. Neither of us brought a camera that day, but we didn't need one. It is forever burned in our consciousness. So too is a special fondness for the Tomcat. I will always have the F-14 in my memory, blasting off into a California twilight, gear coming up, wings sweeping back to form a perfect delta, engines thundering through my body, and watching as it etches its supremacy into the sky with luminous afterburner tails. Thanks again to Hill Goodspeed, the historian at the National Museum of Naval Aviation, and to Tom Myers at the Air Victory Museum at the South Jersey Regional Airport. More information on visiting the Tomcats featured in this report can be found at airvictorymuseum.org and naval.aviation.museum. I'm Chris Goldstein with KSFR in Santa Fe.